ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help businesses of all sizes think beyond today so they can find more success tomorrow. ADP, always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, April 26th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Decentralized, easy to create, lightning fast? These are some of the things that have made cryptocurrencies and spin-offs like decentralized finance or DeFi systems so popular. But they're also the features that can make those systems vulnerable to hackers. On today's show, our cryptocurrency reporter Paul Vigna joins us to discuss the security gaps that are leading to increasingly large crypto heists. That's after these headlines. After a dramatic courtship, Elon Musk is buying Twitter in one of the biggest acquisitions in tech history. The social media company has accepted the billionaire's takeover offer of $54.20 a share in cash. People familiar with the discussions initially expected Twitter to reject the bid, but our reporter Cara Lombardo says that changed once Musk secured financing for it.
I think it was more like he shocked the board by actually coming up with the money to pay for it. That was a big question when he first made the bid 11 days ago now. A week later, he showed up with $46.5 billion ready to go. The other point was that, you know, Twitter, meanwhile, was doing its own analysis, trying to figure out, hey, what does our path look like if we go it alone? And the bankers came back with valuation work that suggested, you know, it may not be easy to reach his price or higher in the near future, just based on how market conditions are changing. The stock market has been going down, especially falling hard on tech stocks. And so it was a variety of factors all kind of convening at the same time that led Twitter to reexamine his offer and go to the table with him.
If and when the deal closes, Twitter will become a privately held business. The acquisition will likely have global repercussions for how billions of people use social media. We'll have more details on the deal and those ramifications on tomorrow's show. A host of major tech companies will be revealing their quarterly results this week. Alphabet and Microsoft report later today, Meta tomorrow, Apple and Amazon on Thursday. Our markets reporter Caitlin McCabe says companies will be hard-pressed to sustain the momentum they've shown over the past few years.
One important piece of context is that really across the board, beyond just these stocks, we aren't expecting the same kind of earnings growth that we've become accustomed to the last few quarters. And that's because we're comparing results to 2021 now, which was also a very good year for companies. And last year, we had been comparing results against 2020, which of course was the year of lockdowns during the pandemic. So all results seemed really great. But that being said, there are forces weighing on the outlook for some of these companies. Meta, which is Facebook's parent, said last quarter that it expected revenue growth to slow because users are spending less time on its more lucrative services. And it also cited inflation as a weight on advertiser spending. And so I do think that this come down from this pandemic era burst of activity will be one of the things really weighing on these companies, in addition to some of these bigger issues that all companies are facing right now, like inflation and supply chain issues.
You can hear more from Caitlin in yesterday morning's edition of our sister podcast, What's News? All right, coming up, why are crypto hacks getting bigger? And is there a way to stop it? We'll discuss after the break.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP. Always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
If you feel like you've been hearing a lot about large crypto hacks lately, you probably are. According to Rekt.News, which tracks crypto hacks, there's been roughly a hack a week in 2022. That's on par with last year, but the amounts being stolen are larger, costing investors more and raising concerns about the security of the industry. Joining us to discuss what's behind these attacks and what they mean for the crypto sector is our cryptocurrency reporter, Paul Vigna. Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Hey, Zoe. How are you?
I'm good. You know, to start with, let's look at some of the recent hacks that have taken place. Last week, there was this new algorithmic stablecoin called Beanstalk that was drained of $182 million worth of assets. Can you tell us what happened to that coin?
There are a couple of key features of this stablecoin that a lot of these DeFi, these decentralized finance projects have. And one of the key features in this instance was that the project Beanstalk made use of what's called a DAO, which stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organization. And basically what you're doing when you're employing a DAO is you are creating a project to do something. In this case, it was to create a stablecoin, just a digital token whose value would be tied to a national currency like the US dollar at a one-to-one par basis. And everybody who invests has a governance share in it. And this is the way you operate these things without it having to be controlled by a centralized party. If, for instance, everybody actually wanted to take the money and liquidate it and take their money back and just shut it down, they could have a vote on that and people could vote on it. So what this hacker did was he bought some of the token, bought about $200,000 worth of Bean, which got him involved in the project. Then he made a proposal. And the proposal was to donate $250,000 to some Ukraine fund. What he did on the side was he went, and this is the other sort of key feature of this scheme, he went and took out what's called a flash loan. And there are DeFi projects that offer these things. You basically take out a lot of money, you put up little or no collateral, you execute some kind of trade or some kind of scheme, and you repay the flash loan in, it could be seconds, it could be minutes, it could be an hour. Like I said, that's what they are. You're borrowing money in a flash. So what this guy did was he borrowed $1 billion worth of different stable coins, employed it on the Beanstalk platform. And what that did was gave him, for a very short period of time, an overwhelming amount of the voting power on this platform. He had like 70% of the voting power. And what he did was he approved his own proposal. The proposal, though, had within it a piece of code that allowed him to send all the money held on the platform to a wallet he controlled. And the whole thing happened, I think it happened within a minute, and it was done over. And then he repaid the flash loan, had his profits, and it was gone. The money was gone.
I mean, I guess we should say, too, that we're referring to this hacker as he. We don't know, again, who it is.
No, we don't know. It could be, yeah. I mean, I'm saying he, but it could be a he, it could be a she, it could be a they. We don't know who it is.
And what is the organization behind Beanstalk said about the incident?
Publius, the development group that created Beanstalk, they wouldn't comment for our story, but they have made some comments on, they have a newsletter, and they've made comments on Twitter, and they have said a couple of things. One thing they've said is that they're not sure if they're going to be able to get the money back. They're not sure if they're going to be able to recapitalize. They want to move forward. They want to rebuild the project and start over, but they'll need some capital to do that. One interesting thing that they did is they publicly offered the hacker a deal. They said, if you give us back 90% of the money you took, we'll be happy to let you keep 10% as a bug bounty. And that's something in the development world where you get paid if you find a hole in the code. So they said they could keep 10% as a bug bounty. The hacker didn't reply to that.
But it sounds like, you know, the hackers behind this, or, you know, the person behind this attack, they followed the rules, right? They followed the rules of Beanstalk's DAO. They followed the rules of these flash loans that they were able to take, mm-hmm. that are, you know, from the DeFi system. So if they were able to use their own rules against them, isn't that a risk for all sorts of coins and all sorts of DAOs?
It absolutely is. It's a risk for any project that employs a DAO. Absolutely, it's a risk. And one of the things with these open source projects is they get built, they get launched, and anybody can sit there and just sort of study it and look for the weak points and find them and come up with a plan and then employ it. But it's quite obvious that what the guy did was completely fraudulent. And I mean, he did steal the money. I mean, nobody else voted for it. Nobody else approved it. It's just that he did it in such a way that what it really shows is that this entire industry needs to mature a lot more before you could start to say, oh, well, these, you know, DAO platforms, these DeFi platforms, these things are really ready for, you know, the big time, really ready for mainstream audiences. They are not.
You know, Paul, the Beanstalk attack isn't the only large crypto hack that's taken place recently. What's behind the uptick in the value of these heists?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of related things. For the last almost year and a half, the average pace of hacks has been about one a week. And what has happened in the last, since August, really, is that the dollar amounts being stolen have gotten much larger. I think it's 10 of the top 11 hacks in dollar terms have all happened since August. It's a twofold reason. One is that there is more money coming into these platforms. There's more interest in the whole sector. But because of that interest, because of that money, what you're getting is a lot of people who are coming up with projects, building them quick and launching them quick, and they are not well created platforms. And they have a lot of bugs and a lot of loopholes and a lot of, you know, open back doors that people can just kind of go through because they're rushing these things out there trying to take advantage of all the money and the interest.
Is there a way to keep these systems more secure, especially the DeFi systems, the decentralized finance systems that aren't supposed to have, you know, one governing body?
Yeah, it's, I mean, eventually the answer to that is going to have to be yes, and there's going to have to be a detailed yes. But right now there isn't. Everybody I talk to says, oh yes, they need to have more robust security. But I have not seen anybody proposing any actual standards. You have a lot of these projects even, they'll say, well, we're audited. You know, they have some third party come in and look at the software. But whatever those audits are, they are not enough either. It's the difference between, say, Microsoft creates a product, right? Whatever, Word, a new Office, you know, they test it and they test it and they test it and they have different versions of it and they test it and they test until they know the thing is really secure, really stable, and then they release it. And anybody who has an Apple platform or Windows or Android or whatever, you know that you constantly get messages to upgrade your software because they have a new version because they have found bugs. And those are companies that have a lot of money invested in it and have a vested interest in making sure that it's right before they even launch it. In the DeFi world, you're not even getting that process.
All right, that's our reporter, Paul Vigna. Thanks so much for joining us, Paul.
Yep, thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.